Well, hello and good morning. How in the world are you? It's so good to see you here this morning. And may I say Happy New Year to each and every one of you. Let me see a show of hands this morning. How many people stayed up last night and watched the ball drop at Times Square? Okay, you could just leave your hands up if you want to. I want to see a show of hands of the people who are going to need a nap when they get home after services. Exact same people, figured as much. What about this? How many people are just really excited about the outcome of that U of L UK basketball game yesterday? That was so last year. Will you people stop living in the past? What's wrong with you guys? You need to get on with your lives. All right, maybe it's me that needs to move on. Maybe I'm the one living in the past. You know, there's no time like the present to pick up our Bibles and to study that. That's a good endeavor to undertake at any time, whether it's midnight or whether it's just 11 o'clock in the morning. So glad you're here this morning. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read just three short verses to start with this morning, verses 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, if anybody's been in a grocery store checkout aisle anytime recently, you've probably noticed those year-end news magazines, haven't you? Those special editions of the year-end news magazines. Every time this year, they have these special issues about the major events of the prior year, usually about the most famous people in the world. People magazine, if you were to see that at the checkout aisle at the newsstand, you'll see a special double issue, and you'll see a picture right there on the front, the lead story, the wedding of the year, Will and Kate, Prince William and his lovely bride, Catherine, the royal couple there, probably the most famous royal couple, and they've only been married for less than a year. And then you have a section there in that magazine called Photos of the Year, maybe the famous people and the best photos, best shots of them through the year 2011. And one of the top stories of the entire year was the passing of a genius and a legend named Steve Jobs. It's been another remarkable year, hasn't it? This year of our Lord 2011. And here we are on the first day of the new year of 2012. And let me ask you, what would a magazine say about the highlights of your life in 2011? Or more importantly, better yet, since we can't get 1 second of that time back that we spent living in 2011, what about a year that we can actually do something about? What would a magazine article say 1 year from now about your 2012? In 365 days, looking backward, would you be looking back with joy, or will you be looking back with joy or regret? Will you be looking backward with excitement or disappointment? Will you be looking backward with fond memories, or just would you just assume not look back at all and think about the events that happened? Let me tell you something about this day. God has given us a chance right now, right this very moment, the first and newest day of the year to do this. He's given us an opportunity to begin shaping our memories for the next year, this very day. We have the chance starting today to begin writing our year-end special edition of the life and time of fill in your name. You put your name there. How can we make it the best year that it possibly can be as far as we are able to do anything about that? Look, I'm not going to dazzle you by any kind of just amazing logic or just any grand revelations. I'm just going to teach you the simple truth, really. Paul tells us what we need to do in these three short verses that we read this morning. Probably nothing you haven't heard a dozen times. Probably nothing I won't say a dozen more times for my life's over. And from a Bible class or in a pulpit or whatever the case may be. Simple statements here that we can employ to just make this the best year that it possibly can be. First of all, it says there in verse 15, the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, we must be careful how we walk. And that simply means we just have to be careful. We need to take care of our behavior, how we behave. Not as unwise people, but as wise people, the Apostle wrote there. Now, what do wise people do? Well, they make the very best choices, the very best decisions they can make when given options. And he tells us here, he says that they make the most of their time. Now, there's something that we all know about time, don't we? And that is, it's very limited. We just have a certain amount of time on this earth. Psalm 39 and verse 4 points this out to us. We read there, the psalmist wrote, "Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am." Now, the NIV, the New International Version, renders that passage, the first part of that, "Show me the number of my days." The simple truth of the matter is our days are numbered, aren't they? That is to say, they're not limitless. There is a limit to the amount of days we're going to spend on this earth. There are just a certain number of days that we have to do the things that we want to do and that we need to do, and we need to take care of them while we have those opportunities. And then the second part of that verse, the NIV renders it, "Let me know how transient I am." Instead of that, it says, "Let me know how fleeting is my life." Life is just a fleeting thing, isn't it? Have you noticed that it's just breezing right on by, whether we want it to or not? I've been looking for that pause button for 47 years now, and I haven't found it. It just keeps right on ticking. It keeps right on flying by. James chapter 4 and verse 14 tells us just how fleeting life is. "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." Life is just a vapor. We're here today and gone tomorrow. Now, that's a figure of speech that's overused, I believe, in this world. But you think about it. That's literally going to be true for each and every one of us one day. At a certain point, at a certain date, someone will be able to have said of us that one day we were here and alive, and the next day we were dead and gone. It's going to happen to all of us. The psalmist puts it another way in Psalm 90. And verse 10, he actually throws some figures in here, some numbers. He says there, "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away." Just 70 or 80 years of life is all that we're likely to get. Some people live longer. Listen, some people live much, much shorter lives than that. Just a ballpark figure here, but it's a reasonable expectation. I read about a clock that was sold a few years back that told you how much life you had left to live on planet Earth. It kept track of how much time you had to live based on those figures. It calculates that the average lifespan of a man, a male, is 75 years, and that of a woman is 80 years. And you plug that information into this clock. You program your gender, you program the expected age of your gender, and it tells you how much time you have left. And it's kind of an ominous thing if you really think about it. It's kind of an alarming thing. It's really an alarm clock because it really could alarm you to watch the seconds and the hours and the days pass away from your life before your very eyes. Hopefully it'll serve as an alarm clock to wake us up if we were to have a clock like that. Now, if I were to plug my information in, if I lived to be 75 years old, if I were to number my days with this apparatus, with this clock, do you know how much time I would have left based on a 75-year lifespan? You know how many days I would have left in my life? Just about 10,000, a little over 10,000 days. And that's not a whole lot of days. That sounds like a lot, but it's really not. Do you think about it? The life I've already lived is 17,000 plus days. So according to that average, my life is nearly two-thirds spent. Time just flies on by. My life is soon going to fly away, just like the psalmist wrote. And I'm going to tell you something about that clock. I want to suggest to you to not waste $100 it takes to buy that clock, because we're not guaranteed one of those 75 days. Did you know that? From this day forward, it could be our last. We're not guaranteed one of them, so we just need to be making the most of our time, like Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5. Let me ask you, are you doing that? Are you making the most of your time? The King James Version renders that verse, "redeeming the time." Are you redeeming the time? Now, when we think of something that we redeem, that is actually a phrase that we use of getting something in exchange for something else of value. Anybody redeem things for money? When I was a kid, I used to walk around the neighborhood and collect Coke bottles. And I would take them up to the grocery store and redeem them for quarters I could put in the pinball machine. Not a very good use of time, but we understand what redeeming is. A lot of people here like to redeem coupons. Any coupon users in the audience today? Now, when you redeem coupons, you're taking advantage of an opportunity to save money. Coupons are valuable. They're just as good as money if you're interested in buying something at a grocery store. But let me tell you what's even more valuable than that. Something that is infinitely valuable, and that is time. Time is very valuable. We should be trying to get the very most that we can out of it. Every hour wasted in our life is an opportunity missed, an opportunity to do good things for others, an opportunity to make advancement in our life on this earth, in our eternal life, to improve our relationship with Jesus Christ. You just think about the time that the average person wastes in the world. You think about the things that people do, how they just waste life away with sinning. Time in bars that they spend, just wasting that time. Time at the gambling boat, or time with cheap affairs. How many people wasted their time last night or early this morning partying the night away, partying the old year away and ringing in the new year? How many of them will not wake up till sometime later this afternoon with a terrible headache, with a hangover? Just a terrible waste of time. You think of the time we waste gossiping and running people down, or you think of the time we waste worrying about things, anxiety controlling our lives, the things that did happen in the past, the things that might happen in the future. These things are not good uses of our time. We can't redeem one wasted hour. Did you know that? You can't redeem anything in the past. We can redeem the time that we have now. And that's really all about making the most of our opportunities. That's what we're talking about here, making the most of the opportunities that God has given us with the time He has blessed us with. Now, that's not to say that only sinful things steal our time away from us, is it? Now, I think all of us can think of some things, even some good things that we can do that can really waste our time if we spend too much time, if we devote too much time to these things. Read a story with me in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This is a story about Jesus going to a friend's house and some interesting things happening there. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. We read, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to the Lord and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, Jesus went to a friend's house. Let me tell you, visiting friends can be a good use of your time. Jesus did it. He showed us that we should spend time with our loved ones. But while he was there, he sat down to teach, which is what Jesus was always doing, right? Teaching the good news, teaching the gospel to people. And Mary, his friend, sat at his feet, and she just hung on every word that came out of his mouth. She was so interested in the words of life that he was teaching. Meanwhile, his other friend and Mary's sister, Martha, she was in the kitchen fixing dinner. Martha was just busy, 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 trying to make the most of her time in the kitchen. Cooking dinner is important, right? You got to eat. People got to eat. Somebody's got to fix those meals. Thank you, ladies. We love you so much for that. But anyway, she came to Jesus and she complained to him. She said, "Look, I'm not getting any help here, Lord. What's the problem? Can't you see that my sister has left me to do all the work? Why don't you tell her to help me? I need some help here." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary, she chose the good stuff." Let me ask you, was Martha sinning by fixing dinner? Of course she wasn't. She wasn't sinning at all. But here's the problem with Martha. She was so preoccupied with being a good hostess, she lost sight of the fact that God was sitting in her living room. We can get so caught up in trivial pursuits, even though these things might not be evil, but we can miss out on the most important things when we get caught up in these unnecessary things, when we get preoccupied with them so greatly. Dinners are important. But if we choose to go without our spiritual food, guess what we did? We chose poorly. We chose to miss the most important meal. Few things are more important in this life than sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning His Word, gathering with His people, and feeding our spirits. This is one of the most important things we ever do in our lives. Now, I want to suggest to you that Martha could have done both of those things. She could have prepared dinner, and she could have feasted on the Master's Word. She could have done both of those, I'm convinced. Maybe if she didn't worry about making everything just perfect for all of her guests. Or maybe if she would have just woke up a little bit earlier, so she could have started preparing earlier and then still had been able to sit at the Master's feet. But listen, a dinner, a game, a show, a few more hours of sleep, these are not bad things. They're not. They can be good things, but they're not good choices if we choose them over Jesus. Most folks in the world think that it's good to be busy about something all the time, just to be busy, just to be active. But look, we can worry ourselves too much over the non-essential things in this world. You know how many hours there are in 1 year? There are 8,760 hours in this coming year. How are we going to make the most of them all? How are we going to organize our lives to where we can have the dinners, to where we can have the games, we can enjoy the shows, we can get the sleep, and still have time for Jesus? How are we going to do that? Well, I'm going to give you some help with that this morning. That's really a simple answer as well. Once again, nothing mind-blowing, nothing breathtaking in the answers here. Just straightforward and simple. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:17, we just read it. He said, understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now let me tell you something about the Lord's will. It's pretty easy to understand. Wouldn't you agree? You can open your Bible and you can read it and you can find out what the Lord wants you to do. What's the hard part about the Lord's will? About doing it, right? It's about obeying it. That's when it becomes tricky. We can understand it. I think all of us, at least most of us, get it. We know what we need to be doing. But it's not so easy to follow through on. I'll show you what I mean. What do you think the Lord's will is for you in this coming year? Are you unsure about that? I wonder, though, do you think He wants you cramming your calendar so full that you don't have time for serving Him and spending time with Him and His people? I think you know the answer to that question. I think you know what His will is for you there. Do you think that He wants your mind so worried over the worldly things that you can't think straight spiritually? I think you know His will on that too. But what do? We overschedule. We get ourselves all knotted up inside. We become a frazzled mess instead of focusing on the Lord like we should. Now, read Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34 with me. And Jesus tells us the Lord's will so plainly here that we just can't miss it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. He says, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus tells us clearly what He wants us doing with our time. He wants us seeking His kingdom. How? Third, fourth, first. He wants us seeking His kingdom first. He wants to have first consideration in our life. He wants us to do His will all the time. Now listen, that leaves plenty of time for food and fun and games. Did you know that? But He just wants to have first priority. He wants you to consider Him the very first. And look, if you're doing that, if you're seeking His kingdom first, seeking His will first, you're going to be so busy making the most of your time and loving God and people the way you should that you won't have time for worry. You'll have time for the fun and the games as well. He'll make sure you have the peace that passes understanding. It's just not good to use your time in just any way. Those other things, the things that we worry about, the things that we fuss over, the things that we get so bogged down over, those are not good uses of our time. Now, We need to be making the most of our opportunities. And what that really is about, that's just about prioritizing. In just the last few minutes of the lesson this morning, I want to make some suggestions for us how to better prioritize our lives in the year 2012. Starting today, starting in this first day of the year, maybe some things that will help us do that. First of all, I want us all to ask ourselves this question. I want us to answer it honestly to ourselves. You don't have to answer to me. You never will in your life, not today, not on the day of judgment. So don't you worry about what I think. But I want you to ask yourself this question to start this year out. What is the most important thing in your life? Now, if you answered anything but God, anything but something like my relationship with God, my relationship with Jesus, the kingdom seeking first, Christ seeking first, His will, you might want to think about resetting your priorities right this very moment. If you put God first in your life, if that's the way you approach your life every day, you see, that's just going to affect every other thing that happens in your life. From this day forward, whatever's going to happen in 2012 and however long you live in this life, it affects your decisions that you make daily. It affects the scheduling of events. It affects your relationships with other people. It affects your whole world outlook, your whole outlook on life. If you would just put God first in your life, it's going to make it better. And if you have your mind set right from day one, from this very day, guess where you're going to be when Sunday rolls around? Guess where you're going to be when Wednesday rolls around? You're going to be at services. That's so easy. You won't even have to stop and think about it. If you set it right now, you'll be there. If you think about it now, you won't have to stop and think about it then in the future. You just program yourself right this moment to seek God first and His kingdom and do His will as the first priority, and you know where you're going to be. If there's a big football game, if there's a big basketball game on TV, you have to ask yourself, which is making the most of my opportunities? Which is making the most of my time? Staying home and watching the ball game or going to worship and serve and learn about the Lord? Isn't that easy? That's just common sense. You don't have to stop and think about it, really. Or if my family is coming in from out of town, if I'm having family members over for a dinner, which is better, to stay at home and serve them or to go to services and serve the Lord and learn more about Jesus and improve my relationship with God and, listen, and set an example for the people that I'm serving dinner for? See how this affects your decisions if you're putting God first? It's going to be no contest. If I'm tired and I really could use a couple extra hours of sleep on Sunday morning, which is a better use of my time? To just stay in bed and get some sleep or to go and worship God and study and be with my brothers and sisters in Christ? Folks, it's just so easy, but we just have to decide it right now. We have to make up our minds now. And let me just tell you right away, call it a New Year's resolution, call it turning over a new leaf, call it whatever you want to call it. But just make up your mind right now to schedule sometime every day to pray, to read your Bible. Just make it a part of your daily routine. I don't care how much time you spend doing that. I don't care how often. I don't care what time you decide to do it. Just make sure, you just determine right now, you tell yourself, I'm not going to bed at night until I have read some, until I have prayed some. I promise you, I absolutely guarantee you, this will be some of the best time that you've ever spent in your whole life. This will be the best portion of your day if you do this. This will be making the most of your time. I promise you, you'll never look back a year from now and say, man, I really regret spending all that time praying to God. That was just the worst use of my time. You will never say, man, I really wish I hadn't devoted so much time to reading God's Word, to learning God's will. Boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. You'll never do that. That'll be some of the best use of your time. Listen, maybe reading's not your thing. I get that. I know a lot of people who are just not into reading. You know what? God's got you taken care of as well. He's got you covered. They have this thing called Bible on CD or Bible on DVD now. You don't have to worry about reading God's Word. Did you know that? It's even better. That's better than reading God's Word every day. Have somebody else read it to you. There's just no excuse for not getting a spiritual meal every day of your life. Those will be some of the best moments of your day and of your year. Some of the most productive moments, the most productive time you spend making the most of your hours and your year ahead. If you'll just do that, talking to God and learning and understanding what the will of the Lord is. Isn't that what the apostle told us there to do in verse 17? Do not be unwise, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How else are we going to do that if we don't open up that Bible every day or put that CD or that DVD in that tray every day and read it and listen to it? That's your challenge for the upcoming year. And that's my challenge as well. I'm not much of a resolution maker, but I see no problem with any time of the year resolving to do these types of things. You can go ahead and pick up your songbooks. Sing number 84 to give you an opportunity to obey the gospel this morning. If God has placed it on your heart to put Jesus on in baptism, we stand ready to help you this morning. While you're pulling out your songbooks, I'll just ask you this. As we stand here on the very first day of this new year, where are you going to be tonight at 6:30? You going to be here? Or are you going to be at home doing something else? Where are you going to be Wednesday at 7:30? Let me ask you, do you have a better offer somewhere else? Is what you normally do really the best use of your time? I mean, really. I know you've heard this stuff before, but just be honest with yourself. What's a better use of your time? What you would normally do at 6:30 tonight or what we do here? I hope we see you back at 6:30. And if you haven't given your life to Christ, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for a better time, a better opportunity? Can't you make the most of your opportunity this very moment? Why not today? You won't be sorry that you gave your life to Jesus. Once again, you'll never look back with regret and say, man, I wish I hadn't been baptized that day. That was the worst decision I ever made in my life. This will be one of the best decisions, the best decision you've ever made if you hadn't done that yet. We stand ready to help you this morning anyway spiritually that we can. You come up here and talk to me about those things while we're standing and singing to your encouragement.